Jeremiah. Quite a undertaking. There's a lot of chapters in Jeremiah. We're going to be here for quite a while, so hope you're going to enjoy the study in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile of Jerusalem in the 5th month. How many understand what I just read? One person. Good for you. Someone loves history. Those verses can tell quite a bit about the setting of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is taking place at the end of the reign of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. Over 100 years before Jeremiah was born, the kingdom of Israel was taken captive by Assyria in 722 BC. So the northern kingdom, the northern tribes of Israel were no longer. There was a few people that had been left up there, but most of the people, the king of Assyria, when he conquered Israel, had taken those people and deported them up into the area of Babylon and the area of the Medes and the Persians. And he settled in people from that area down into Israel. And he mixed up all the population in order to subdue it. And the area of Israel, the northern tribe, became a province of Assyria. It was part of the kingdom of Assyria. And so in 722 BC, and a little bit afterwards, all that had taken place. It says in verse 2 that the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Josiah came to power about 640 B.C., and he reigned till 609 B.C. So in the 13th year of his reign was about 627 B.C. And then if you take those times down till the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the exile in the 5th month, Judah was taken captive by the Babylonians in 586. So about 627 to 586 is around 41, 42 years. So that's how long Jeremiah was prophesying. Understand it now? So Jeremiah came on the scene in a very turbulent time. Very turbulent time. If you look in the history of Israel, of the history of Judah, it says here that he was, came to prophesy in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. Now, Ammon had only reigned a few months. He was the son of Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. How many have heard of Hezekiah? Ah, okay. Now we're getting familiar. Hezekiah was a good guy. He was a good king. He did lots of good things. And if you remember, Hezekiah got sick. And Isaiah told him that he was going to die. And Hezekiah turned and repented, and He prayed to the Lord, and as a result of his prayer, God told Isaiah, well, you go back and tell Hezekiah that he's going to live 15 more years. And it says in 2 Chronicles 33:1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord had disposed before the sons of Israel. If Hezekiah had died when he was, quote unquote, supposed to have died, Manasseh would not have been born. I wonder how the history of Israel would have been if Manasseh had not been born. If you read about Manasseh in the Kings, you get one idea of his life. But if you read Manasseh in 2 Chronicles 33, you get a completely different. 2 Chronicles adds information about Manasseh. It says here in 2 Chronicles that Manasseh did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it goes on to tell about how much evil he did. And as the prophets prophesied against Judah, they said that the Lord was going to judge Judah because of the sins of Manasseh. When he died, his son Amon reigned, and he reigned only 2 years. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then when the Lord took him by conspiracy, he did so much evil that people conspired against him and killed him, assassinated him. And they made Josiah, his son, king in his place. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And Josiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David, and did not turn aside to the right or to the left. So here we have quite a turbulent time. You have Assyria coming down and taking Israel captive 100 years before. You have Egypt trying to reassert itself as a power, and these people are fighting and trying to assert themselves, and the little kingdom of Judah is right in the middle. It says here that the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. Now, if Jeremiah had a choice, would he rather have been a prophet or a priest? I think it would have been better for him to be a priest myself. The priest's life was regulated. The priest's life was determined, you know. If he was a priest, you know, he had his duties in the temple. He'd go in and do his thing in the temple, and it was all prescribed in the law, what he was to do. Josiah had instituted reform. The temple was reestablished. Everything was going well, and Jeremiah could have taken his place as part of the priesthood. But something happened. Something happened. What happened? Before we tell you that, let's go back to Manasseh. Remember I said Manasseh did evil in the sight of the Lord. But it says in Chronicles that he did so much evil that the Lord brought the king of Assyria in, and the king of Assyria took Manasseh, it says with hooks and bronze around, you know, bronze neck collar, and took him captive, and took him over to Babylon. I don't know who was reigning while he was gone. Maybe nobody. But while he was over in Babylon, now Babylon was just an insignificant place, was part of the Assyrian Empire at this time. He had taken him over to Babylon, and it says here that, and when he was in distress, verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 33, when he was in distress, he entreated the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the Lord, before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, he was moved by his entreaty, God was moved, and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. Now after this, he built the outer wall of the city of David on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even unto the entrance of the fish gate, and he encircled Ophel with it and made it very high. He then put army commanders in all the 45 cities of Jerusalem. He removed all the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord, as well as the altars which he had built on the mountain of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he threw them outside the city. And he set up the altar of the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and ordered Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed in the high places, although only to the Lord their God. So Manasseh had a reformation at the end of his life. You don't read about that in Kings. Kings just says he was a bad guy and leaves it at that. But the book of Chronicles gives you more of the spiritual history of the kingdom of Judah. And so it includes in the fact that Manasseh had repented and started reforms. Didn't take to us with his son, but his grandson Josiah, when he was 8 years old, he started doing what was right in his eyes, in the eyes of the Lord. It says about Josiah, when he was in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still a youth, he began to seek the Lord God of his fathers. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the Asherim, the carved images, and the molten images, and tore down the altars, etc., etc. So in the 12th year of his reign, He started the reform. And what does it say here in the first part of Jeremiah? That Jeremiah started prophesying in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So God called Jeremiah just a year after Josiah started this reformation. So here we have Jeremiah coming on the scene, just as Josiah was starting his thing in about 627 B.C. You still with me? He's still with me. Verse 4 of Jeremiah 1. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth. King James says a child. Because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations, over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That's quite a commission. Quite a commission. So in about 627 BC, the Lord calls Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. Young people, listen. You don't have to be old to be called of the Lord. The word youth here is used quite a bit in the Old Testament. It's used of Isaac when he was taken up to the mount for sacrifice. That word he uses, the young man. It's used in the Hebrew anywhere from a child, a young child, to an adolescent. Anywhere from young child to teenager. So if he was 14, 15, 16 years old at this time, then he was born right around he was born in the time of Josiah's reign. His father brought him up, was probably training him to be a priest, getting him ready to move into the priesthood. 20 years old, he goes into the priesthood. Priests were priests from 20 to 55. Then they retired from that full-time work. So he was getting ready to be a priest, and the Lord says, I have something else for you. Before you were in the womb, I knew you. What a great verse against abortion. God knows us before we are born. God knows what we're going to do, what we're going to be before we're born. God knows about you. There are other people in the Bible that were consecrated before they were born. John the Baptist, he was consecrated before he was born too. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. So here he is. He's trying to, you know, reminiscence of Moses. You know, Moses says, I can't speak, you know. And God says, don't say I can't speak because I'm a youth. And the Lord comes down and touches his mouth and says, I put my words in your mouth. Don't any of us say we don't know how to speak. God has given us his word. It's his word in our mouths to speak. Do we know his word? Are we ready to give an answer to everyone who asks of us a question of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear? If someone asks you about something about the Bible, if someone comes up to you and says, how do I know there's a God? Or someone comes up to you and says, how can I be saved? That'd be a great one, wouldn't it? That's a great question. The tough ones. How do you know there's a God? All the evil going on in this world, how do you know there's a God? If God was God, he wouldn't allow evil, would he? Can you give an answer to the hope that is in you? Do you know the Bible? Do you read it? Do you study it? Can you give an answer? God supernaturally touched Jeremiah's lips and gave him the word that he was to speak. He did not have the Bible like we have it. He did not have the full revelation of God. So he had to be given it, and he preached it, and he taught it, and he was persecuted for it. Verse 8 says, do not be afraid of them. And them is a all-inclusive word. We don't know who them are. Jeremiah didn't know who them was. My English is kind of bad there. Who the them were. He says, for I am with you to deliver you. Jeremiah is going to be able to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Quite a commission. He was given quite a bit of authority there by God. Verse 11 says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. I don't know the connection between the rod of an almond tree and God watching over his word to perform it. I don't understand the connection, but God made that connection. God says he's going to watch over his word, and what Jeremiah says, he's going to perform it. God will honor the word of Jeremiah. If you remember your history back in the early days, Samuel was given a commission. And God said to Samuel, not one of your words will ever fall to the ground. Whatever Samuel had said would come true. Not one of his words would fall to the ground. And that's what I think God is telling Jeremiah here. That God's going to perform his word. He's going to honor his word. Verse 13, the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north, the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. Judgment is coming. For behold, I'm calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord, and they will come and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem and against the wall, all its walls around about, and all the cities of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Now, whoa, scratch my head. When did this come to Jeremiah? In the 13th year of Josiah. What is Josiah doing? He's reestablishing Jehovah worship. He's cleaning up the temple. He's doing all these marvelous things. What does God say? I will pronounce my judgments on them concerning all their wickedness whereby they have forsaken me and have offered sacrifices to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Even though Josiah has come in and has established worship, God's looking back over the whole history of Israel, of Judah, and sees that they have really, really blown it. They have really departed from his ways. Especially at the time of Manasseh. And God says, even though they're doing all this good stuff now, I'm going to judge them for the wickedness that they've done. Verse 17, now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command you. Do not be dismayed before them, or I will dismay you before them. Now behold, I have made you today a fortified city as a pillar of iron, as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princes, to its priests, and to the people of the land. And they will fight against you, and they will not overcome you, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. That's a summary of the book of Jeremiah right there. Jeremiah in three verses right there. It's the whole book. As far as I understand Jeremiah to be, that's the whole book right there. Everything. Jeremiah spoke to them all that God commanded him. He was never dismayed. He never took offense. Well, he was never dismayed. Everything they did to Jeremiah, and we're going to learn that they did a lot of stuff to Jeremiah. Jeremiah endured a whole bunch of stuff. I was listening to the radio and they were talking about one of the guys yesterday was talking about Jeremiah, how they wanted to kill him. So they said, we're going to throw him into this well, thinking that they were going to drown him. But they threw him into the well and it ended up that he was waist deep in mud. Now the Mideast wells are probably maybe 3-4 feet in diameter, if that. They're just big holes straight down. They dig a hole down until they hit water, and then the water just bubbles into the thing, and they put the bucket down and pull up the water. And they thought, well, let's drown him. So they threw him into this cistern, this well. He was up to his waist in mud. He was there for a while. How'd you like to live in mud up to your waist? How can you sleep? Could lay down. You drowned, suffocate. You had to stand up. Your skin would start, you know. Take baths and your skin gets all wrinkled. Skin starts getting wrinkly. Starts sloughing off. Not a good way to go. This guy that suggested that they probably threw rocks down on him, trying to kill him. He's up, he's only hit mud, he didn't drown, so let's throw some rocks down on him, try to kill him. Finally, a friend of his went to the king and got him to, take Jeremiah out of the cistern, out of the well. Had to put rags under his arms to keep from breaking the skin. Because he had this, suction of the mud, probably pull his arms out of joint. But they got him up. Today I've made you a fortified city, a pillar of iron, walls of bronze. They did a lot of horrendous things about Jeremiah. Some say that he ended up being cut in two. Put him in a log and you saw the log in half, you know. Maybe lengthwise or maybe widthwise, I don't know. God used Jeremiah, and we're going to learn that how the they fought against him, but they did not overcome him. He ended up, he came through, and he came through to the other side. We're going to learn that. We're a little early. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. We thank you that we can take courage from the life of Jeremiah, Lord, that even though he was young, even though he was a youth when he started out, that the Lord was with him and the Lord protected him. And I just pray, Lord, that we could take courage of the fact that we live in a time when we're going to probably be persecuted for how we believe and what we say. It's already occurring, Lord, that this persecution is coming. It's coming because we're Christians, because we name the name of Christ. Other religions can do things and say things and nobody says a word. But when a Christian says the same thing or similar thing, they're persecuted. They're told to be quiet. They can't say that. They can't do that. Only because we're Christians. We just pray, Lord, that you'd give us boldness in these latter days as we see the time coming close for your return. We just pray, Lord, make us servants of the living God like Jeremiah. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.